WFXS. Once again,
the Spot, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State College.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a fantastic, a fabulous, a feeling fine football Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's the always affable hosts, Jeff Byers and Scott Geese.
Affable.
Always affable.
I have a lot of aff.
I've got some obble.
Not hapless. What happened to their hap, right? No, we're affable. We got a lot of aff.
Just
make sure you spell that right, okay?
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266 would be the number to punch into that there phone if you would like to get something off of your chest, or if you just want to, hey, give some kudos to somebody, let us know about an upcoming event, or, again, you just want to say hello. We're okay with that.
Okay.
The next level option, and the one we strongly prefer, 341 Science Park Road is where you will find us. Baked goods and bacon. Available for your hosts to be delivered. If you so choose, we are very happy to accept your food donations this morning at 341 Science Park Road. That's in the State College 16803 zip code, and you can pop right on in. Sweet 200.
I was going to say, you need that, you know.
And pop right in. We will accept any baked goods or bacon. And probably just about any other food product you can think of this morning.
Okay. You say so.
Just about. I did say just about.
All right. We did have a guest earlier this week walks in with a box of donut holes.
Best guest ever.
Like, okay. You go right to the top of the charts.
That's the way you do it, baby.
All right. We have an open phone program. Oh, for goodness sakes, do we have things to talk about. All right. Lots of different things. Yeah, we'll talk about Penn State football. Of course we will. You know that.
Yeah.
All right. It's that kind of week. Can't help but notice, Mr. Ironhead, that's a rather bulky coat that you wore in here today. Is that kind of a bulky coat?
No, it's a light jacket.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks kind of bulky. Maybe it's just because you're a big guy and it's a big coat.
That's probably it.
All right.
No, it's a spring jacket. All right. Fall jacket.
Frosty night. We did warn you. All right. I saw frost everywhere on the drive-in this morning. It's going to warm up. It's going to be, Sunday might get some rain. All right. Watch out maybe for some rain on Sunday. Otherwise, today is looking like a nice day, so make sure you take some time to, you know, get out and enjoy it today. All right, let's see. All sorts of things. Oh, gosh, where do I start? Let me start with this one.
The beginning.
The beginning of what?
Always start at the beginning.
Pick a topic. I mean, we got a laundry list here. Let me start with this one, all right? We'll talk about Penn State football later, all right? We'll do that later. We've been talking about it all week. You've probably been talking about it all week. You know, all the things that have happened since, Saturday, not just Sunday. All right, there we go. We had that clip from Pat Kraft at the start of the week. This is what we wanted, a new football coach.
And that's right.
He had his big long list, and my remark was Superman couldn't do those things. I mean, there's like this and this and this and this and this and this. Like, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. And just for the last couple of days, I'm like, boy, I mean, this is a really high bar to meet whoever this next person is. By the way, it won't be Kurt Cignetti. We'll get to that in a moment, all right? Not that it ever was, but okay, whatever. And I was just thinking, you know, okay, we want to win football championships, and it's about being elite, and it's about blah, blah, all this stuff. I'm thinking, okay, whew, that's a pretty high bar. There is one guy who's been at that high bar, Mr. Ironhead, you're kind of familiar with this fellow. Here's my question. Now, you would know this. Go ahead.
I will happily accept the position.
Well, no, no.
I've been trying to keep this under wraps and I've applied.
Trust me.
You are on to me.
You want this job?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I know how to fix it.
Oh, you know. Okay, that's what the last guy said.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't work.
I got this. I tell them every Saturday exactly what they need to do. No, catch the ball when they drop it.
Okay. Well,
with me,
I
will coach them to catch the football.
Okay.
No, run for the touchdown. This is what I will coach and preach day after day.
Run
to the end zone. All the way.
All the way.
When the other team is passing, this is my coaching tip. Intercept it. Get the ball. When it's a running back, make him fumble. Punch it out.
Okay.
Now,
good.
They do all of those things, kids. They're going to win a whole lot of games.
Mm.
When the kicker is out there, put it through the upright, I say, every time.
Okay, that's good.
I know what it takes
to
make this a championship team.
I don't know. That's not exactly what I was thinking, but okay. There is one guy who has hit the high bar.
Somebody else.
And has an elite program. And I've just been thinking about this for the last day or two. What, all right, now you would know this. And
his right-hand man, I will say, would actually, I think, be interested.
Okay. Huh? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What could the football program learn from Cale Sanderson and the wrestling program?
Yeah, and the coaching staff.
Now I'm asking you the question. All right, I don't know. You've been around these guys from the beginning. What could the football program? We want an elite. We want to win championships every year. Well, we actually have a team that does that. What could the football program learn from the wrestling program? Now, is there anything that just comes off the top of your head? We're being serious now that, you know, okay, this could transfer over here.
Yeah, go get the best athletes that are available.
All right.
Get them to come to your program and then develop them at the highest level.
That's it?
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Just got to go get the best.
Okay.
The very best in the country and then develop them at a higher level than anybody else is doing, and voila. You, too, could win 12 championships in 14 years.
Okay, that's it.
That's all you got to do.
That's all it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Get the best and be the best at developing.
Didn't realize it was
all you do is win,
easy.
Win, win.
Okay, it seems so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the last guy didn't do that or whatever. Anyway, now, again, you're Mr. Wrestling. I'm not. I don't follow any of that stuff. But I do social media. Ex-Twitter, again, is my favorite. And there's a picture, I think I just saw it yesterday, of Coach Sanderson. He's fishing. Apparently he was out fishing this week.
With Joe, yep.
Okay, with what? Joe Humphreys.
Joe Humphreys, yep.
Okay. Now, granted, it's not wrestling season yet. By the way, when does it start?
We've got seven kids competing in the
that's a
World Championships coming up here, the under 23. But, yeah, the season, the college season, got underway here on November 14th.
So
be the first dual meet.
What's that?
Practices are
underway. That'd be 4 weeks. Okay, 4 weeks. So good. I mean, apparently there's a picture. The coach gets this big fish, and of course he's holding up the big fish and smiling. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Just get the best guys and develop them. Okay, I didn't realize it was that easy.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Just go get the best kids in the country and then develop them at an elite level.
And do it every year.
Okay. And make sure they're eating right, sleeping right. Doing all of the little things to get the extra edge.
Oh,
boom.
Okay.
And then you win a bunch of national titles.
And you win a bunch of titles.
Yep.
Okay, very interesting. All right. All right, yes, you can scratch Kurt Cignetti from the coaching search. Again, not that he was ever really on it. He really, really wasn't.
No.
No.
I'm sure the Rays had – he definitely wasn't on the Penn State list, Scott. It just was coincidental that Indiana decided now's the time.
Surprise.
We'll have more of that coming up in sports.
All
but
right. There
yeah,
we go.
He was not on the Penn State list.
All
is
right.
Your takeaway from that?
Smart guy.
Ooh,
all right.
boy. You may want to watch who else gets some big money deals
well,
here in the near future.
There's the story. Okay.
No, he was never going to be a Penn State coach.
You've got it in the next segment, right? You've got this in the next segment?
Yeah.
You do. Okay. All right. I've never been to Bloomington, Indiana. I assume you have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It has a very similar feel to State College. It really does. I think it is the most similar to me. Maybe a little bit like State College from 5 years ago before we became, skied up, but Bloomington has the old school State College feel to it.
All right.
Very much.
Very interesting. Now, again, Indiana is what, number three this week? I think in the poll they're number three. I mean, those folks have got to be like sky high. They've never been this good before, probably. All that sort of stuff. Just wonderful stuff. Hold it. Okay. Indiana has problems. All right. This story, which I guess I'm really stunned that this story continues. Now, Mr. Ironhead, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a guest from FIRE. Remember that? Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression.
I do indeed.
There we go.
Remember.
Based in Philadelphia. We've had him on the show several times. And we talk about free speech issues, and we talk about college free speech issues, and every fall they come out with their annual rankings of college free speech, who's doing it, if you will, right, who's really not doing it right, and so on. This year, Penn State went up, they improved, although again, according to FIRE, what was it, like two-thirds of all the schools, like 260 schools, I think they ranked, they didn't do every school. 260 schools, and two-thirds of them got an F from FIRE. Even though they may have improved, they still got an F for various issues, okay? But we were a bit, I think, as I recall, we were both surprised that one of the schools at the bottom of FIRE's new list is Indiana. All right? Indiana has free speech problems, which is interesting. I guess I wouldn't have guessed that from Indiana. Apparently the problems are continuing. Now, this is an amazing story, all right? I got this release from FIRE yesterday afternoon. Their lead sentence, Indiana University is the worst public college in the country for free speech. Now they have them at the bottom. What was that, a year ago, 2 years ago? Sean Stevens was our guest, and he said at that time, Harvard officially gets a zero. If we could, we'd give them a negative number, all right, because free speech in Harvard just, no, it doesn't happen, all right? Well, Indiana is now below them.
Oh, boy.
This is amazing. Now, this is the latest, all right? Folks, one of my lines I like to use, we are fortunate to live where we do, all right, either weather-wise or a number of different things. Although later on I've got some numbers that are going to make your eyes open. Well, maybe not, but stick with me. That's later in the show.
All right,
so I know from a little bit of experience that Indiana has an outstanding school of journalism. They're really good. I have two, I'll say, acquaintances of mine, one from New York and one lives in California, that are both Hoosier grads, and they're involved with journalism, and they are both very, very good at what they do. And a number of, I guess, call them famous journalists, broadcast journalists, whatever, are Indiana grads, all right? They've got a really good school of journalism, had a really good school of journalism.
What?
So the student newspaper at Penn State is called the Daily Collegian, all right? The student newspaper at Indiana apparently is called the Indiana Daily Student, all right? So that's their daily newspaper, the Daily Student. And apparently recently, the Daily Student wanted to do a story about these FIRE rankings, like why is Indiana so low in the FIRE rankings.
How low can you go?
Well, apparently you can go lower.
Oh.
All right. So they did some reporting, and they were going to, they did some reporting, and it kind of got out. And apparently administrators at Indiana didn't like this. So they pretty much went to the newspaper advisor and the staff, and they said, you're not going to do that anymore. Okay? So they had their, or they either have or had, their upcoming edition, which whenever Indiana, I guess, either this week or last week, not last week because they were at Oregon, they have their homecoming game. All right? And, of course, they've got some homecoming coverage and so on. And apparently administration went to the newspaper staff and said, okay, for your next edition, all you're going to do is cover homecoming. That's it. You're not going to cover anything else. Just homecoming. This is from the Indiana administration, like old Maine type stuff. They told the new student newspaper, okay, you're going to cover homecoming and that's it. Well, the advisor for the group, Jim Rodenbush, just said, went to the editors and informed them of this pronouncement from administration. And, of course, they said, no, free speech, freedom of the press, we're not going to do that. We're a student newspaper. We report news. We're not just some promotional piece for the university. All right. And, of course, Jim, the student media advisor, stood up for his students. And for that, he was fired. Now, not just relieved of his duties, he was fired.
That is not good.
By the administration at Indiana. And then the administration apparently stepped in and ordered the paper, shut down your print edition entirely. You're not doing one. Whoa. Now, at any college in America, they would be horrified. At a school like Indiana with a really strong student journalism department, I mean, this is like Hiroshima Nagasaki type stuff. And it's coming from their own school administration. This is the same administration. Now, our fire guest told us this several weeks ago. You know, back when all the crazy protests were going on about Palestine and stuff like that, the administration in Indiana actually, to kind of oversee what was going on, put, I guess, police officers or something up on one or two roofs, and these guys were armed. Armed police officers they put up on roofs to oversee the people that were protesting. Now, right there, it's like, you did what? Excuse me? I mean, that got Indiana really low on the free speech rankings.
That's pretty low.
Then this happened. I mean, this is like part two. So, again, for folks who are boo-hooing this week, you know, for whatever your reasons are, and you're looking, boy, Indiana's looking really good. Well, trust me, Indiana has a world of hurt because they've got, I will put my words, an out-of-control administration that simply does not understand the First Amendment. And it's amazing that they're being essentially allowed to get away with this. Now, I know from doing some reading, there's been pushback in Bloomington. There's been pushback. National organizations are pushing back. National journalism outlets are pushing back. It's like saying, what the heck are you doing? You can't do that. You should know better than to even try to do that. All right. Watch that story. I want to see where this one goes. Football team. Yeah, okay. We'll see what they do. Fine. Indiana, blah, blah, blah. I'm more interested, frankly, in this story. All right. Because this is nuts. This authoritarian crap. Oh, Donald Trump. Indiana is not Donald Trump. All right. This is a bunch of out of control college administrators that think they can get everything they want. No. All right? No. Now, I saw also something yesterday. John Ziegler, all right? You know John Ziegler. He's been on our show. It's been a while, though. Apparently, he has a podcast, and he has a new episode, which is supposed to come out on Monday. And I saw just a brief clip online yesterday. He talks to the wife of, I guess soon-to-be former wife, from one of the Jerry Sandusky accusers, and she pretty much in this interview with Ziegler says she firmly believes that her husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, lied and that Jerry Sandusky is innocent. And the full release of this podcast is supposed to be on Monday. You familiar with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And apparently that makes two wives, or two maybe now soon former wives, of a couple of these accusers that are now saying, no, I really do believe my husband lied. All right? He all of that he made up.
Okay.
Now, we had Frank Parlato on just, a few days ago. Let's see where this story goes, because this one's really starting to percolate a little bit. Very interesting. All right, let's celebrate. No, let's not celebrate. Today is day number 109 with no state budget. Yay, wonderful. Again, if you work for a school or a nonprofit and you get state funding, I mean, those poor folks are doing all the creative financial math they can possibly do just to get the bills paid until the state finally gets off their duffs and makes an agreement and so on. Now, I did notice that State Treasurer Stacey Garrity, who happens to be the Republican or a Republican candidate for governor next year, she apparently has started her loan program through the Pennsylvania Treasury, which apparently she can do as the state treasurer. And so I guess school districts and nonprofits and whatever can sign up for loans. They get pretty good terms until, you know, the state budget finally gets passed. Now, when that happens, all these group schools and groups and so on will get money. All right, it's kind of, you know, what's the fancy term, retroactive. But in the meantime, they're like sitting on their hands like, oh, come on, we need something. So Garrity has started her loan program. Apparently some loans have already started to be distributed. Now, it's interesting, there's this, call it a pot of money from the state treasury that is supposed to be going to schools and nonprofits, just pretty much sitting there. Now, is the state earning interest off that money? Well, of course, the answer is yes. The number I have here, this is just interest. They've already earned about $40 million of interest off of that unused money that's just parked there. So whenever this thing is eventually done, all right, again, everybody will get their money retroactive, late, if you will, and the state is going to make, I would call it a tidy chunk of change from not having to pay that out on time when they're supposed to. $40 million just in interest on money just like, well, we can't release it. This is not quite the loan thing, all right? This is the regular thing. And there's no end in sight down in Harrisburg on what. There's no end in sight in Harrisburg. There's no end in sight in Washington with that government shutdown. Oh, it's a great day to be alive. Okay, just like we got politicians that just can't agree on apparently much of anything. So with that, we'll take a break. We'll get to some happy news.
All right.
Hopefully, sports is next. I hope you have some happy news. All right. Later on, we may do some arguing. Yeah, we'll talk about Penn State football. It's been that kind of week. There's that big protest tomorrow. Okay, have a good time. And some other things. And your calls. So we've got a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
sounds so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Feeling Fine Football Friday edition of Let's Talk. And Jeff and Scott with you. Some open phone time coming up a bit later in the morning. Right now we take a check of the sports scene. And the question is, how different will Penn State football look tomorrow night? The Nittany Lions, of course, firing head coach James Franklin after a third straight loss on Saturday. And so Penn State will have interim head coach Terry Smith leading the squad into tomorrow night's matchup with Iowa. Penn State now 3-3 on the season, while the Hawkeyes are 4-2, 2-1 in the Big Ten. Penn State will also have Ethan Grunkmeyer at quarterback after starter Drew Aller suffered a season-ending injury, reportedly a broken ankle, in the loss to Northwestern last week. Iowa is a 3-point favorite, and the Hawkeyes are coming off a 37-0 win at Wisconsin last week. Kickoff in Kinnick Stadium tomorrow night is set for 7 o'clock, and that game will be streamed on Peacock.
Oh, great.
So you'll have that opportunity tomorrow
night. If you have the streaming service.
Well, I mean, you gotta know people. If you don't have it, you gotta get yourself hooked up.
Go to a sports restaurant or something.
That would be a fine option as well. If you're needing a James Franklin fix, you can tune in to ESPN Game Day tomorrow. The now former head coach of the Nittany Lions will be making an appearance with the ESPN Game Day crew tomorrow. Big Ten weekend will actually kick off tonight with Nebraska visiting Minnesota. On Saturday, top-ranked Ohio State will visit Wisconsin. Big one here. Washington is at Michigan. Keep an eye on that one. The that Washington passing game is something. That's going to be a pivotal game for both of those teams this season. Indiana, now ranked third in the country, is home with Michigan State. Oregon goes all the way out to Rutgers for a game tomorrow. Northwestern will host Purdue. UCLA entertains Maryland. And a big one tomorrow night in South Bend as USC travels to Notre Dame.
That should be good.
That should be an entertaining one. Also tonight, the North Carolina era under Bill Belichick continues. The showdown between the Tar Heels and California out at Cal.
Tonight. Okay.
Also tonight, second-ranked Miami will be home with Louisville. Other games of note this weekend, all of these games tomorrow. LSU at Vanderbilt, Oklahoma at South Carolina. Ole Miss will be at Georgia. Keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
SMU is at Clemson, Texas Tech. They're pretty good. They'll be at Arizona State. Missouri, their quarterback is this fellow by the name of Bo Pabula. They'll be at Auburn. Utah is at BYU. And Tennessee visits Alabama tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Keep an eye on that one,
good
kids.
Good one.
All right, Indiana making big news off the field yesterday, signing head football coach Kurt Cignetti to a new 8-year contract that will pay him an average per season, I said,
yes,
of $11.6 million. Now, if you're saying to yourself, self, that seems like a really high salary, you would be correct. That is the third highest paid coach now in college football, behind only Ohio State's Ryan Day, who won a national title last season and has his team atop the rankings again this season, and Georgia's Kirby Smart, who has two national titles to his name. Only those two now have higher salaries in all of college football than Indiana's Kurt Cignetti. Look for several other agents. Kurt Cignetti's agent, job well done. Several other agents are going to their schools and saying, hey, Penn State's contacting us. You want to do anything for my coach here? Keep an eye out. We're going to see some other big names signing big deals in the very near future.
Wow.
Penn State women's soccer team getting a goal from Indiana native Amelia White and picking up a 1-0 victory at Purdue last night. Kind of a cool story. Nittany Lions improving to 8-5-3 on the season, 4-3-2 in Big Ten games. Amelia White, by the way, from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Penn State will play its final road game of the season on Sunday. That'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff at the aforementioned Indiana.
Oh, the other one.
Uh-huh. The Penn State men's soccer team will be home with Northwestern tonight. Kickoff at Jeffrey Field is set for 7 o'clock. The Nittany Lions are 5-5-2 on the season, 1-3-1 in Big Ten games. Tonight is the annual whiteout game for Penn State at Jeffrey Field. The sixth-ranked Penn State men's hockey team will be hosting Long Island University tonight and tomorrow. The Nittany Lions are 3-1 on the young season. The Sharks come in at 1-2. Penn State sophomore Charlie Serrato leading the nation with 11 points through the first two weekends of the season. Face-off at Pagola Ice Arena will be at 7:30 tonight. And then the two teams will meet again at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Speaking of Charlie Serrato, I just mentioned him. He has been announced as part of the five players being added to the U.S. Collegiate Select Team ahead of the 2025 Spengler Cup. College hockey making that announcement yesterday. Serato joining fellow Nittany Lions Aiden Fink and Matt Godowski on that squad. They were both named as two of the first five last week because of their status as returning All-Americans. And five other players will be named in the next week or so, along with Serato, named yesterday, Michigan forward T.J. Hughes, Notre Dame forwards Danny Nelson and Cole Newble, and Denver defenseman Eric Polkamp. They now have 10 players on the team, and again, more will be invited and announced over the coming weeks. Also, the sixth-ranked undefeated Penn State women's hockey team ready for a big two-game series against Mercyhurst at Pagola Ice Arena this weekend. Penn State will put its undefeated 6-0 record to the test against 15th-ranked Mercyhurst this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then the teams will meet again tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The Penn State field hockey team is hosting Iowa at 5 o'clock. Nittany Lions have struggled to a 5-7 record this season, just 1-4 in the Big Ten. Penn State will also be hosting Indiana at 11 a.m. on Sunday. That's like in the morning.
Yes.
Penn State men's and women's swimming and diving teams will be hosting Yale. It'll be senior day for that meet tomorrow. That will start at high noon at McCoy Auditorium. High noon. The 17th-ranked Penn State women's volleyball team will visit Washington tonight at 10 p.m.
Eastern.
That's late.
That's late.
Guys, come on.
Eastern.
And then Oregon tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m.
Eastern.
That's even later. Okay. The Nittany Lions have won three straight and sit at 10-6 on the season, 4-2 in the Big Ten. But it's starting to all come together. Keep your eye on the Nittany Lions. Penn State cross-country teams are both in action today. The men will be competing at the Princeton Fall Classic. The women at the Nuttycomb Wisconsin Invitational. That just sounds like more fun than it probably is.
Okay.
It's still a lot of running, which just does not sound like fun to me. Because of the inclement weather at Missouri, the men's team not participating in that event, and so now opting for the Princeton Fall Classic. That'll get underway at 11:15 this morning. So if you're planning on going and you haven't left yet, you're going to have to go heavy on the gas pedal and get going.
You're late.
The women's team will run in the Nuttycomb, Wisconsin for the third straight season, 12:50. This afternoon, Eastern time, will be that race. Florence Karen took second in last year's event individually. Penn State finished 10th a year ago. Also, it's already time for exhibition basketball season in college hoops. The Penn State women's team will be hosting California, Pennsylvania in an exhibition game at Rec Hall on Sunday afternoon. That'll be a 1 o'clock tip-off. Penn State men's team will be playing their exhibition game at Dayton University on Sunday. That will be a 2 o'clock tip. Penn State women's golf team is in Vero Beach, Florida, and we'll be continuing to compete there at the Evie Odom Invitational at Old Dominion through tomorrow. The Penn State men's tennis team is competing at the ITA Northeast Regional Championships in Princeton today through Tuesday. Also, the Penn State men's golf team will be at the Quail Valley Intercollegiate on Sunday and Monday. The Penn State baseball team has a fall game versus Bucknell at 5 o'clock today at Medler Field at Librano Park. The Penn State men's lacrosse team will have a couple of fall games tomorrow at Springfield High School. The game against the University of Penn will begin at 12 noon tomorrow, and then at 2 o'clock, Penn State will take on Bucknell. It is already week 9 of the high school football season. Tonight, State College will take its 7-1 record to 0-8 Carlisle. Bellefonte will be at Bellwood Annis. The Red Raiders are now 3-5, while the Blue Devils are 4-4 on the season. Bald Eagle area is 4-4 on the year, heading into tonight's game at Central. The Dragons are 2-6. A battle of 4-4 teams tonight in Tyrone, as the Eagles host the Phillipsburg Osceola Mounties. Penns Valley will be looking for its second straight win when the 1-7 Rams visit 6-2 Huntingdon this evening. All of tonight's action will kick off at 7 p.m. or, you know, thereabouts. The State College girls volleyball team on Wednesday night clinched the regular season Mid-Penn League Championship. Congratulations. 3-game sweep of Cedar Cliff State High, led by Kenzie Kersinger's 19 assists and 6 aces. Little Lions are 13-1 on the season, 9-0 in Mid-Penn matches. State High will visit Cannon McMillan tomorrow afternoon in the penultimate match of the regular season.
That big long word.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers threw for 4 touchdowns. Pat Freiermuth caught a couple of touchdowns. And Jalen Warren had 127 yards rushing last night. Good job, Steelers. The Philadelphia Eagles will be looking to snap a 2-game.
They played last night.
Yeah, number. Aaron Rodgers threw for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Jalen Rodgers, I mean, they scored 31 points.
The
Eagles will be back in action.
The result of the game?
Well, they lost the game.
Yes! Now, I actually watched the doggone thing all the way to the end.
Evan McPherson connecting on a 36-yard field goal with 7 seconds left, and doggone it! The Bengals beat the Steelers 33-31.
Here's a crazy...
He scored 31 points! And the defense had been playing well into the game last night.
They had been.
And they lost. Pittsburgh is now 2-10 on Thursday Night Football under Mike Tomlin. This is amazing. They are 0-7 now in road games against AFC North opponents on Thursday night. They cannot beat conference opponents on the road on Thursday night. And that stupid Joe Flacco. Oh, I don't like that guy. He threw for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns. Again, Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns, but he also had a couple of picks. Joe Flacco did not throw interceptions last night. That was a big part of the final score. Steelers... still lead the AFC North, but man, what an opportunity missed. Now just a game and a half in front of the Bengals in the division. Ah, what an opportunity, and it's gone. Steelers will be back in action against the Packers a week from Sunday night. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Eagles looking to snap a 2-game losing skid on Sunday. The Eagles will visit the Minnesota Vikings for a 1 o'clock kickoff. Minnesota coming off a bye week, so a little extra time for the Vikes to get ready for the Eagles. Philadelphia 4-2 on the season. Minnesota is 3-2 on the year. The Eagles go in as 2-point favorites in the road game Sunday. Andres Jimenez homered and drove in 4, and Max Scherzer, yes, Max Scherzer pitched 5 2/3 innings and struck out 4 while allowing just one run. That was a Josh Naylor homer in the second. And the Blue Jays got another home run from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They pick up the 8-2 victory over the Seattle Mariners. The American League Championship Series is now dead even at 2 games apiece. The road team has won each of the first 4 games in this series. Seattle will host Game 5 this evening. That will be at 6:08. The L.A. Dodgers, again, edged the Brewers last night, 3-1. Tommy Edman hit the go-ahead RBI single in a 2-run sixth that propelled the Dodgers to the victory. Tyler Glasnow, oh, I remember when he was a Pirate. He struck out 8 and allowed just 1 run on 3 hits in 5 2/3 innings. And the Dodgers bullpen kept the Brewers off the board the rest of the way. Milwaukee has scored exactly 1 run in each of the first 3 games. Probably need to get a little more offense going. If they are to stay alive in this series. The Dodgers looking to complete the sweep with a win tonight in Los Angeles. First pitch is set for 8:38. And once again, the Center County Sports Hall of Fame will be inducting its class of 2025 on Sunday at the Penn Stater. Being inducted this year are Willie Morse, Don Lucas, Terry Glunt, James Yonashonis, Kristen Irwin Zolke, Jennifer Evans, Tom Muir, Ron Hoover, Nathan Stone, and Dave Caslow, along with Tom Gravish and Doug Sig. Congratulations to all of our very deserving class of 2025. Going to be a good time on Sunday afternoon, celebrating a special group of remarkable Center County athletes. And I think it would be safe to say, I'm just going through here real quick, yeah, all of them have gone on to further success in their lives. It's a pretty impressive group of human beings above and beyond their athletic accomplishments. And that is a little something we like to call sports.
All right, we'll take a break in a moment.
Go ahead.
Is this a crazy thought?
Probably.
Right. Steelers game last night. Pat Freiermuth gets wide open and makes that long touchdown late in the game, like two and a half minutes or whatever left in the game. What if he goes down at like the 3-yard line on purpose? So that, okay, first and goal at the 3, we got lots of time to hammer the ball in the end zone, so that Cincinnati doesn't have any time left to try to respond. Mm. Is that a crazy thought?
Yeah. You're not sure. You got. I mean, it'd be one thing if you're ahead. It was just.
All right. I mean, just. Brutal. I was thinking about that as.
Yeah, I don't.
Last
don't
night, I'm like, boy.
That. We've seen too many goofy things happen.
Flacco's got a lot of time to get, and all they had to do was get in field goal range. Yeah. I think Flacco's got a lot of time, and the slants across the middle were open all night long. Steelers defense had no answer for that, which I'm like, there's another one. I'm yelling at my television like, come on, guys. They're pulling the same play pretty much over and over again. Nothing.
Also, yesterday, there was a meeting with the Big Ten presidents and chancellors. And interestingly, no vote was taken. This was a conference call. It was thought that there was at least a reasonable chance that the conference was going to approve this private capital deal. Now, I don't know that it's necessarily, I don't think they have to have a unanimous vote on these things, but this stuff, they tend to not want to put the vote out unless they can get a unanimous vote. And Michigan and USC, I mean, there may be others, but those are the two that have been the most public, or have been public, about their concerns over this proposal. Yesterday, the University of Michigan Regents criticized the proposal, saying that it is well, their words, quote, a payday loan, unquote. Another regent at Michigan, Jordan Acker, said it would be like opening a new credit card to pay off debt. The plan that was, and maybe still is under consideration. Again, they didn't vote on it yesterday. They may just be taking some time to work on seeing if they can get everybody on board. But what they want to do, and the majority of schools, the presidents and ADs seem to be on board with it. Well, this is presidents and chancellors, not... I'm presuming the ADs are being consulted on this stuff. But the plan calls for the Big Ten to spin off a new entity, which would be called Big Ten Enterprises. And Big Ten Enterprises would house all of the media rights and sponsorship deals for the Big Ten Conference. And there would be a pension fund that would be set up with the University of California, and they would receive a 10% stake in exchange for a cash infusion of over $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion to the Big Ten athletic departments. That deal would then would be extended through 2046. Big Ten already in the middle of a 7-year, $7 billion with a B dollar media rights package that will end here in 2030. A lot of money involved here, obviously, and a lot of money being made, but operational costs are actually skyrocketing as well, and with the like the stadium renovation at Beaver Stadium, a lot of these schools are in need of additional cash flow opportunities. This is going to be an interesting one to watch. Again, Michigan and USC are at least the most vocal in saying, hold on. Like, this, again, does not feel fiscally responsible. Seemingly, everybody else in the Big Ten is like, hey, we got a chance of more money coming in at the moment. Let's do it, baby. And but just may want to keep an eye closely on this. A lot of different moving parts right now, all throughout college athletics and in the Big Ten, and this is a big moving target at the moment on the financial end of the spectrum. All right, we'll take a break here. We are back with much more. It is our Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and yep, it could be you joining the big show at 814-954-7266 as we hurtle into the three-day party weekend. Let the party begin.
Woohoo! What a week. Yeah, let's go party. 814-954-7266. Anything you like. Yeah, we got lots of football. Let's start there. What the heck? That's what everybody's talking about this week, okay? Yeah, this Kurt Cignetti deal yesterday, very interesting. All right. Now, you said agent, all right? Yeah, I guess these guys all do have agents, don't they?
Yeah.
They got agents, all right? So an agent probably went to the Indiana AD or administration. We talked about them earlier this hour. Ooh, interesting folks. And this just sounds familiar, like, uh-oh, we might lose our coach. Oh, my God! Quick, throw money at him! Throw money at him! Where have we heard this? We've heard it here with James Franklin on more than one occasion. Oh, my gosh, throw more money at him! Extend his contract! All right, here we go. Except this one. Now, again, according to the stories, the money is fully guaranteed. So yesterday, Cignetti just made himself $93 million.
Pretty good day for the Cignetti family.
Yeah, no matter what happens over the next 8 years, he just inked a $93 million deal. Wow. And, yeah, there are some people out there criticizing it already, like, what, Indiana, what the heck are you doing? I mean, look what happened to Penn State, you know, blah, blah. $50 million here. This is $93 million. Okay, Indiana apparently has a lot more money than I thought, I guess. I mean, Indiana's a major university and all that sort of thing. Yes, they really stink at free speech. We mentioned that earlier in the show. They're the worst in the country, apparently, which is shocking, and so on. Now, if we have some Penn State students listening, and I assume we do, now, I'm thinking especially students that have football tickets.
I think the question is, are there any Penn State students that aren't listening? There might be one or two, I guess.
Okay, well, they're allegedly in class.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
so here's a thought. Now, if you're a Penn State student,
why would Penn State be scheduling classes when we're on the air?
That is outrageous. If you look at the student section, which is sort of in that one, like, end zone corner, whatever area there, there's always big, what do you call it, banners, big giant banners celebrating players and all this sort of thing. I think now the Indiana game is on November 8th here, November 8th here, all right? So between now and then, you've got plenty of time. Somebody needs to make some big banners. I'll give you suggestions. One banner could say, Coach Cignetti, you're welcome. All right, big banner. Another big banner, Coach Cignetti, enjoy the raise we got you.
Oh, boy.
Because would that not be accurate? Yes, it would. None of this would have happened if it wouldn't have been for this week. So, again, I guess give his agent whatever credit. I wonder how much the agent gets.
Pretty good chunk.
A nice chunk.
Pretty good chunk.
Fully guaranteed $93.25 million. Holy moly. Whoo. Yeah, the era of money craziness has just begun. And you said it earlier, Cignetti won't be the only one.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's going to be, watch out, there's going to be more of these. Let's take a call here.
Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Whoop, did we lose you?
Well, you were almost live.
You were almost there.
Let's Talk.
All right, let's try again. Sorry.
Phone line is now open and available at 814-954-7266.
When we get you into the system, folks, just sit tight until we come to you.
We'll be coming to you.
All right, there we go. Obviously, I mean, gosh, there's been so much coverage this week in different directions. I'll hold that thought because I'm guessing our caller is back.
Especially right? North-Northeast. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Yeah, it's Meeting Guy again.
Okay. Meeting Guy. I love his name.
Any meetings scheduled today?
Do you have a meeting today?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
Good Fridays, you've got to keep clear. Okay. That's good.
But anyway... I'm Jeff from State College. By the way, Jeff, your wife does wonderful work at the Jana Marie Foundation.
That is a fact.
I heard you say, but I read an article yesterday. Is Cignetti's contract fully guaranteed? Because I read an article that said his buyout went from $10 million to $15 million. Which suggests it wasn't fully guaranteed.
Well, I took what I said from an ESPN story that says it's fully guaranteed.
Okay, I got to do more. Because that's the one thing I was looking at, is like, when, you know, I get guaranteeing maybe 5 years in one of these contracts, but not like, I would never do that. But it's just
yeah, it really does not make sense to most observers of sports and certainly college sports. Listen, Cignetti is clearly the hottest thing going right now, and it has been an unbelievable, like truly hard to comprehend what he has done with that Indiana program in its first year and now second year. That being said, as we just saw at Penn State, things can change, good to bad, or bad to good very, very quickly. And we've seen the bad to good at just light speed rates at Indiana. And I'm no reason to think right at the moment that that's going to change. But, again, we just saw Penn State was a play away, a drive away anyway, from playing for the national championship last year. They are going into this season overwhelming consensus. This is going to be a Final Four team, one of a handful of teams that has a real shot to win the national title, and their coach is gone 6 weeks into the season. They're 3-3 and presumably not going anywhere fast this season. So it can change very quickly, and I'm with you. I think anything beyond 5 years with any kind of guarantee is just – is nuts in this market.
Yeah, it is. So, but last thing, and you heard it here first, is Indiana has decided to become a basketball school. I'm sorry, football school.
Yes.
They are no longer a basketball school.
That, no wow. question. That is the determination they have made.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Well, there's more money in football than there is basketball. So.
Yep.
Well, that's true. By far, yes.
Yeah, and I think they just decided, yeah, we want to get on that gravy train and do what we need to do, and they have done it.
Anyway, keep up the good work, guys. Love listening.
Hey, love having you out there. Appreciate the call, and have a great three-day party weekend.
And if you want to make your own name for yourself, like Meeting Guy, that's fine. Just keep it clean.
Okay.
Sure. It's Meeting Guy again. So anyway.
Well, so there's going to be a bunch of different things to watch for in this game tomorrow night for Penn State, if you're a Penn State fan. It is one of just the many interesting sidelights. So this will be the 335th football game that Kirk Ferentz will be a college head coach. It'll be the first for Terry Smith. So the slight edge in coaching experience, if I'm doing my math right, goes to Kirk Ferentz Hawkeyes in this one. I am really curious to just see what this thing looks like. And in listening to Terry Smith, I get the feeling Terry is kind of curious to see what this looks like tomorrow night. I don't think anybody has any kind of a feel for what Penn State is going to do tomorrow night. Good, bad, indifferent, new looks, new wrinkles, same old, same old. I don't know. And listening to Terry Smith, it sounds like they're spending a lot of time, understandably, and I think rightfully so, kind of talking through this entire situation with the team. And to what degree do they rally around each other and Terry Smith and this coaching staff? And with the way Iowa is playing, does it matter? Penn State's line play has just been really subpar. The interior of the defensive line, it feels like they are just undersized. And the offensive line just has not come together. Now, you know, some injuries, I think, probably playing into that a bit for Penn State. But, again, going into the season, it's like, wow, they're so deep here that they can withstand an injury or two. Well, maybe not, as it turns out. So, I don't know. I'm really curious to see, just from a game planning and strategy standpoint, what Penn State tries to do, and then, you know, what does this thing look like from an emotional and energy standpoint? Because Iowa's going to come out with energy. Make no mistake. Kinnick Stadium at night. Hawkeyes coming off the big win over Wisconsin. They've lost a couple of games, but, you know, a tough rivalry game to Iowa State. And listen, they were right there with Indiana. They gave Indiana a better game than Oregon did.
Yes.
And their defense, holding Indiana to 20 points is no small accomplishment this season. So this is a legit defense, and I think it's just going to be very challenging to see this Penn State offense try to get things going when they've struggled the way they have all season and now have a first-time starter at quarterback. And again, an offensive line that just to this point has really struggled to put things together. I'm hoping for the very best, obviously. I'd love to see this thing go great. I'm having a tough time envisioning this great turnaround at Iowa at night with a first-time starter at quarterback and an offensive line that's had 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 6 games to try to get this figured out and just has not. Would I like to think that, yep, man, they figured it out this week, Ironhead. That just, it seems unlikely to me with everything else hanging over their heads right now. But we'll see. I don't think anybody, including the folks in that locker room, know what what this is going to look like, how they're going to come out on Saturday night.
Is this game tomorrow night a must win?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
I'm not so sure. All right. Are they?
I guess must win for whom?
Penn State.
The Penn State program?
Yes.
No.
All right.
Now, for the coaches, if their plan is to remain at Penn State, probably yes.
Okay, all right, there. We're leaning
no,
in my direction.
For the Penn State program, no. Truthfully, it really doesn't matter what happens the rest of the season, because unless they go, I would say at least 5-1, and they'll have to look good in the one, there's going to be a coaching change. Like Terry Smith, I love him. The only way, if they go 6-0, I think there's at least a reasonably good chance that Pat Kraft says, all right, man, we just found our guy and he's right here. If they go 5-1 and the loss is a competitive, really tight game with either Ohio State or Indiana, and they beat the other and they run the table in the rest of the games, I think they're still taking a long, hard look at maybe we do have our guy. 4-2 or anything worse, and they, to me, it's definitive they are bringing somebody. And again, they could go 6-0 and still bring somebody in from the outside. But if they go 4-2 or worse, and that feels much more likely than not, then they're bringing somebody new in. And whether Penn State goes 4-8 or 8-4, the new coach and the new staff, it's just going to be a new era, and everything else is going to be scrapped by the wayside.
Interesting. All right. I think it's a must win.
Not even close.
Now, next week they don't have a game. All right, they have an open week next week. Then, of course, they've got Ohio State and Indiana back-to-back. Ooh, if they're going to win one of the next three games, the one is going to be tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're saying must win for them to go to the postseason, probably with you. If you're saying must win for this coaching staff to have a chance at being retained, I'm with you. But, I mean, must win for the program, no, this season is a lost season. Even if they run the table, 9-3 is not what this season was about for Penn State. So it's a lost season regardless. And, again, a new coach coming in, it's going to be seen as a new era regardless of what Penn State does the rest of the season, including Saturday night. So to a large degree, they are playing with house money now. And again, it would be a wonderful result to see Penn State win Saturday night. But in the overall big picture, completely inconsequential. As far from a must win as you could possibly imagine.
Interesting. All right. I mean, we'll take a break in a moment. I'm just judging by stuff I see online, and I agree with you. Nobody knows. It's like a big, giant question mark. Boink.
Yep.
There are some folks that think Penn State's going to lose. There are some folks out there, they think Penn State's going to roll. Like the real Nittany Lions are going to show up tomorrow night. Okay, and they try to make their case and sort of stuff like that. Personally, I'm somewhere in the middle. I think it's going to be a tight game. Tight which direction? I don't know. Knight, Kinnick, the hospital, the wave, you know, all the emotion and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Will this team rise to the occasion or will they panic? We will all find out tomorrow night. I got some more thoughts on this, including dumb comments like, okay, how much is that guy getting paid? And so on. So stay tuned. And we're not talking about coaches now. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. I'll share what I'm thinking right after this.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and grandstand, multi-force, stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy. It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. Man, it is a good-looking Friday at that. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on, well, any doggone thing you'd like as we kick off the three-day party weekend.
That is true. All right. A little frosty this morning, if somehow you haven't been out yet. A little frosty, but it's going to get back up in the 60s. Looks like great day for high school football. Games tonight.
How about it?
Weather should be great for that. All right. Again, this has been a unique week. It really has. And you take a look back at it. You know, what happened? All the comments, all the fallout. You know, Cignetti $93 million deal. Holy fright! Who's going to be next up on that list? I don't know. Is Nebraska going to pull out their checkbook for Matt Rhule now? You know, hey, coach, throw money at him. I guess that's just what administrators do. Oh, my God, can we do more money? Throw more money. You know, that sort of thing. Okay. Franklin did this multiple times here. That actually got a little bit of coverage this week. I mean, I like Coach Franklin a lot. He's a great guy. He was. Again, I got a picture of him with my daughter when she got married, for goodness sakes. Not at the wedding or something, but you get the idea. He's a great guy. Just for some reason, something just wasn't there. There was one thing about Coach Franklin that I would say disturbed me. Me, Scott here, me, okay? And allegedly, there's a couple of stories floating around that he did it again over the summer. He wanted another contract extension. Now, he pulled this maneuver several years ago when Sandy Barber was the AD, and, oh, man, Sandy Barber is getting raked over the coals on social media, has been all week. Like, why did you give this guy this mega deal? Why did you do that? All right, this was before Pat Kraft, okay? And apparently, according to a couple stories, he tried it again this past summer with Pat Kraft, I guess. Wanted, you know, hey, let's get another contract extension. Now, I've never met Dr. Kraft. All right, he's got a doctorate. Never met Dr. Kraft. Sometime I hope I do. And I just I can imagine the wheels turning in his head back in the summertime, because he seems like a pretty sharp fellow. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. He's a really good operator, and the idea is how to get from point A to point B. And so Penn State starts this $700 million whopper Beaver Stadium renovation project. And how are you going to pay for that? We've had tons of those questions. Yes, a bunch of private donors with big checkbooks have shown up, but not nearly to the tune of $700 million, not even close. This thing's going to continue for another 2 years, all right? Not till, spring or summer of 27. Are they going to finally be finished with, as I'm calling it, the Taj Mahal?
It'll actually be the fall of 27.
That'll be cutting it close.
It'll be obviously open and ready to go, but the project will finish completely in October of 27.
2 years, right? 2 years. And so here comes your coach asking for another contract extension. And I'm thinking, if I'm Pat Kraft, and I'm not, but if I am, I'm thinking, Coach, buddy, we got this mammoth project going on, tons of money. We're still not exactly sure how we're going to pay for this whole thing. And you want more money? Your timing is really poor. And I have to wonder, I'm surmising, sometimes that's a little dangerous. I'm surmising that, you know, maybe some seed of doubt was planted at that point. Like, okay, come on, we got these other things. Can we get this done with first? And by the way, if you win a national championship, okay, then, all right, let's sit down. We'll sit down and talk when that happens. That hasn't happened. The 4-21 and all this other stuff. And so on Saturday night, when Penn State lost its third game in a row, and to two teams where they were three touchdown favorites or more, that, you know, that Kraft's sitting there thinking, yeah, I think it's time. I mean, some of these so-called national experts, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to punch my television or just laugh at them. I'm not sure which one it is. Reese Davis, all right? I used to like this guy. I don't like this guy anymore. I just don't like this guy anymore. ESPN talking head. Apparently he either was interviewed or had a comment this week. Now again, a lot of these guys, 4-21, 4-21, 4-20, they constantly, every time Penn State would play any kind of game, again, they could be playing Little Sisters of the Poor. Oh, well, okay, but they're 4-21 against top 20 whatever teams. Every time they threw it out there. And now Penn State just dropped three straight, which was not supposed to happen, especially the last two. And Pat Kraft or Penn State decides, okay, midseason, we got to do something. Boom. We can't allow this because our next three games are Iowa, Ohio State, and Indiana. And the way we're playing, there's a very good chance we could lose all three of those. And we go from 3-0 to 3-6. You want to talk about a disaster? That's a disaster. And so Reese Davis makes this comment apparently this week. He says, I'm quoting here, "Seems borderline nuts to pull the trigger on this in the middle of the season, even if you're going separate ways at the end of the year." Aren't you the guys? We've talked about this before this week. On the one hand, you complain this way, then this happens. Okay, now we're going to complain this way. You can't have it both ways. All right. I thought these ESPN guys were allegedly smart. Maybe they're just dumb as bricks, and they look pretty on television, and they can talk in complete sentences. Okay, great. Now, again, imagine, all right, help me out here, so to speak. Franklin stays as the coach. They lose the next three games because this team has just not been doing it. So now they're 3-6. And kind of like, you know, sort of what you said a little bit ago, if they're 8-4, 4-8, whole thing blows up. All right? Well, they keep Franklin in, whole thing blows up. So we get to the end of the season. Now it's December, okay? It's the end of the year, Reese. And then they decide to can Coach Franklin. All right, there's all this, I call it panic, about recruits. Oh, my God, they're going to lose them all, you know. Well, imagine if you lost them all in December. First off, you got the transfer portal coming up in January. Well, okay, how many guys are going to jump ship? And you got all these high school kids that come December, it's like, what? You fired Franklin? Oh, I'm out of here. At that point, they probably are out of here. Meanwhile, you do it here in mid-season in October. Yes, you got some recruits. Oh, okay, I'm decommitting. I'm going to start looking around again. But you have an opportunity with six more games to play, with some new folks running the show, to hopefully turn things around. Now, if they, you said it, you know, if they could somehow go 6-0, oh my gosh, that'd be crazy. All right, 5-1, all right, different scenario, different situation. Maybe some of those recruits decide, you know what, I really do want to go to Penn State. Okay, they're giving me money, and that whiteout thing is really cool, and 100,000 people, I mean, who, what other schools in the country can say that? Only a couple. I really want to go there anyway. These guys that have decommitted haven't immediately said, okay, I'm going here. Now, to my knowledge, none of them have done that. They've just said, okay, I'm going to start looking again. Well, on their list would still probably be Penn State. You don't think these guys are going to be watching Penn State on TV tomorrow night? Of course they are. They want to see what happens. This is the team I had committed to. Let's see what they do now with Terry Smith officially now in charge. All right, are they going to be totally different? Are they going to do a UCLA from the last several weeks? I really want to see the ratings for this game tomorrow night. I want to see what, now granted, oh shoot, it's on Peacock. Ah!
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, it's not going to be pretty. You got Notre Dame, USC, and you have Tennessee, Alabama on network television stations.
Yeah, I forgot about Peacock.
And you have a 4-2 Iowa team and a 3-3 Penn State. I mean, Penn State fans will be tuned in. Oh. Iowa fans will be tuned in. Everybody else will be keeping track of the score while they watch the other games of interest on Saturday night.
Peacock. Okay. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Sorry.
Yep.
Oh, crap. I mean, Terry Smith has been doing a lot of talking this week. And obviously, everywhere he goes, everybody wants to ask him questions.
Plus, everybody's going to be locked in on the Pitt at Syracuse game Saturday night.
Oh, please. Yeah, right. Sure they are. Two comments from Coach Smith. All right. And it's gotten a lot of coverage. This is no secrets here. The one where he said, we all failed Coach Franklin. Yes, you did. I hope we're all nodding our heads. Yes, you did. The players did. The coaches did. Everybody did. All right? That should be a no-brainer. Should be. The other comment is he was talking to, I guess, a bunch of reporters. This might have been, I think this was Wednesday. And he said, and there's a quote here, we're examining the depth chart. We're looking for playmakers, guys who can change the game. And if you can change the game, it's my job to get you on the field to help us. And as soon as I saw that comment, I thought, yep, there it is. Joe Paterno, 1967. Now, if you know your Penn State football history, you know this one. All right, Joe Paterno's first season was 66. They were a 500 team. First game, 67, they lose. And they weren't supposed to. It was just a bad performance. And Joe has a decision to make, and he says, all right, you know what? I'm going to bench some of these upperclassmen guys. I've got some sophomores I think that have some real potential. I'm going to put them in. And as the old line goes, the rest is history. Everything changed when Joe took a chance, when Joe took a risk, and put some good, talented, younger players in, and they came through for him. Now, I want to see, I'm really curious tomorrow night, A, who starts, B, who plays. Now, I guess, I don't know, some red shirts might be burned tomorrow night. Some people might not have a problem, like, come on, put me on the field. Some guys might be, maybe I don't want to do that. Well, we're going to find out. Okay? We're all going to find out tomorrow night together. And I tell you what, you know, this idea, well, they should have waited till December. Why did they do it now? Well, again, you want to try to regain recruits' confidence. Now, folks, I'm not a football coach, but I got my eyes open, all right? If I'm Penn State, I'm thinking, or Coach Smith maybe, I'm thinking, yeah, let's get some of these, I think, very talented younger players in the game, various positions, linebacker would be nice, and so on. And if they are successful, we hope they are, if they're successful, then my message to recruits is, look what we just did. We put some talented younger players in the game because they deserved it, and they came through. Guess what? If you come to Penn State or come to Penn State again, that could be you. There is no high school kid anywhere. Forget the NIL money. Seriously, put that aside. There is no high school kid anywhere that wants to come to a school and sit. None of them wants to do that. They want to come and play. All right, I'm a big shot. I was a five-star, four-star, whatever star, three-and-three-quarter stars player, blah, blah, blah. Okay? They all want to come and play. And so if they see Penn State saying, okay, we're going to put our best guys on the field, and some of those are youngsters. Well, I'm a recruit. I think I'm a best guy. So Penn State just proved they put young guys, I have a chance to play myself, maybe next year or 2 years, depending on, you know, senior, junior, whatever. All right? So I think from the recruiting aspect, it's not the panic mode that some people are in right now. Now, they got to do one thing. They got to go out and produce. Now, produce with whom? Well, we'll find out starting, I guess, tomorrow night. Mr. Ironhead, am I crazy? You're kind of smirking at me a little bit.
No, you're just living in the old school model. None of that actually matters.
What does that mean?
It's money. What are you?
All about money.
What are you giving me? What are you doing financially for me and my family? That is the. All of these players think it doesn't matter what Penn State's doing with its current roster. You're thinking, man, I'm the dude. When I get to college, I'm going to be the guy no matter where I'm at, whether it's Alabama, Penn State, Indiana, USC. I know I'm going to be the guy. I'm the guy. What you doing for me? How much are you greasing my palms, baby? It's we're in a new era. And truthfully, it doesn't matter unless Terry Smith ends up being the permanent head coach. And I think it is very unlikely that the scenario here plays out the way it would need to for that to occur. Then, again, what this staff does with this team is irrelevant. If they play all freshmen and the freshmen all have big days and that looked great. And, yeah, but that's not the coach that you're going to be playing for. Well, then what? So it matters. All of that sounded great, and it matters not a whit. not even a tiny little bit. It's the money, and it's what's this next coach and coaching staff going to do. And what do I think that's going to look like for me and for this program moving forward? And every one of these players, I think that's going to be one of the challenges here for Terry Smith moving forward is, Terry right now, I think they are going to play hard, and I think they're going to rally around each other, but those younger guys are doing it with an eye looking around and, wonder where I'm going to be next season. Am I going to stay here? I want to see who the coach is going to be. And nobody can tell them right now. Well, yes, by God, stay here because the next coach is so-and-so and so-and-so is going. You don't know if you're a player. So all of these guys are very much up in the air. Even those that have complete loyalty and love Penn State, maybe the new coach comes in and says, I'm not sure you're a great fit. Well, if you're told that, even if you love this institution and this has been your dream, if the new coaching staff comes in and says, you sure you don't want to look elsewhere? Nobody knows individually, program-wise, what the future holds. What you do know, if you're in that locker room, is you have six games remaining this season with this staff, all of whom you've been playing for all season, just a different leader at the top now, and they'll write the script here. They'll chart the course for the rest of this season. And yes, would it be better if Penn State finishes up strongly? Sure, I guess. But again, I don't really think it matters. It matters who the next coach is and what the job they do on selling the program going into next season, both to the entire roster, those that are eligible to come back next year, and then obviously recruits and transfer portal potential transfers. That's what this is going to come down to. So I don't think it really matters much at all. If Penn State finishes up strongly, right, and we love what this coaching staff is doing. We feel really good about it. And it's like, yeah, that was great. And here's the coaching staff you'll be working for next year. Oh, well, I don't know if I or if you finish poorly and it's like, boy, this was awful. Well, that's okay, because look, here's your new coach. It just, long term, this season it matters, but long term and what the future looks like, I think matters not at all on how this thing finishes up these final six games. Not even a little bit.
So you think Kraft should have fired Franklin on Sunday? Yes or no?
In terms of what it means for next year, I think that had more to do with the big money donors saying we need to move on now and the toxicity and I would say the absurdity of the Penn State fan base. I could argue this was a mercy firing so that James Franklin didn't have to walk out of the tunnel and deal with what he was going to have to deal with for the Indiana and Nebraska games, the two home games remaining this season. But in terms of, I don't know, I've been asking people and nobody seems to have an answer. I don't know, like, what is happening now with this coaching search? Like, I don't know how in-depth of a conversation you could be having. If Matt Rhule's your guy, you can be talking to his agent, and his agent could be saying, yeah, this is what we're thinking, and, I mean, that could be occurring. But for Matt Rhule, like, he's not going to be taking a couple of days out of his week to, hey, yeah, let's come in and really talk about what this would look like. No,
he's a little busy.
So that from a search standpoint and from the player's standpoint, I don't think it makes a difference whether you did it now or at the end of the season. To your point, I'm not sure what is Penn State going to be telling these kids now. Well, we got rid of James Franklin, who recruited you and was the reason you're here, and now this coaching staff that is not likely to be here next year. By God, look at what they're doing with you. Okay, so what?
A chance to regain some confidence.
And again, it's going to matter not a lick for what the future holds, because the future is going to be completely different.
Let's take a quick call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I sort of look at it objectively. If we survived, whether you disagree with the Sandusky fiasco, we survived that, we'll survive this.
Okay. Yeah, again, it's an entirely different era. Goon was talking about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, in terms of the scope of the impact on the program, this is obviously different and lesser than that. I'm just telling, we are in such a different world. The idea that guys are going to come and play just for the glory of dear old state, that this is now a, basically, it's a semi-professional or just a slightly less level of professional football. And so, you know, just like guys, this is the comparison Goon was making yesterday, is that, yeah, there are guys that go play for the Steelers and fall in love with the city, love the area, and they end up carving out their life there. And there are going to be people that come to Penn State and, yep, man, I love everything about this area. But really, now it is the money at least comparable? The idea that you're playing just for the glory of dear old state, I just think has very quickly become outdated. You're not getting those guys unless you're paying comparable. Now, again, you might get guys, oh, yeah, I really want to be part of this program with this coach, and I'm willing to take a little less here or there. But the overwhelming majority of the players are like, yeah, absolutely, I'll come play for you. Seems like a really neat campus. Seems like a good winning culture you have. And also, how much am I making again? Okay, yep, that'll work. Sign me up. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, we've got to take a break here.
Yes.
Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. Oh, we got more. Oh, yes, we do. Right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. Ace Frehley, co-founder and lead guitarist of Kiss, passing away. He died after injuries suffered in a fall last month, 74 years old. Man, it is amazing how your perspective on age changes over the years. 74 feels really doggone young to yours truly now. I dare say when I was in college, I said, well, that's a good life he led, man. 74 years, that seems like a good full 74.
Too soon.
Yeah, Ace Frehley. It's been a tough year on the rock and roll scene here. But Ace Frehley, if you did not hear, passing away at the age of 74, just never really recovered from the fall last month. Couple of quick notes. It is National Pasta Day.
Oh, I like
I
that.
Will be going out and getting some spaghetti
I
to
like
celebrate.
Okay.
And it's I should be celebrating this one mightily. It is National Mulligan Day. Yay, mulligan!
Okay, hold on. Like golfing?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
We do love the mulligans.
You use a lot of those?
As many as I am permitted. Absolutely.
Whoops, I lost my ball again.
Sign me up.
Anyway. Okay, yeah. All right.
Love the do-overs. Wish we had more mulligans in life, in everyday life. Could I do that one over again, please?
Well, sometimes you can. Well, sometimes you can't. All right, sorry. That's the way it works. All right, let me change direction.
All right,
because I've actually been sitting on this.
Steelers could take a mulligan on that game.
Oh, don't start. I've been sitting on this for like 4 days.
Yeah.
All right, it's been this week. All right. There's all these media outlets that are online. Pretty much their job is to make content, get your attention, and then throw a bunch of ads in your face, and hopefully they make money and stuff like that. One of these is called Wallet Hub. Now, I've heard of them. They're pretty well known.
Yeah.
They do businessy stuff, all right, like money and such. And they had they used a recent survey and then kind of mapped it out. The best small cities in America. Now, a small city is defined as having a population between 25,000 and 100,000. That would be a small city. So not Pittsburgh, not Philadelphia, smaller than that. State College would fall, of course, in that zone. All right. And there are 1,300 cities on this survey. And, of course, they have to rank them.
Well, of course.
There has to be a ranking. And so what they do is, or what they did was, they've got these certain parameters, and they score them on the parameters. Then you crunch all the numbers together, and then you come up with, like, a main number. And there's 1,300 cities on this list. So they're rated essentially from 1 to 1,300. Okay, I'm rounding there slightly. And as far as the best cities, it goes from the 99th percentile, which is really good, literally down to number 1 percentile, which is, of course, really bad. Okay. And so on this list, it just came out like a week ago or thereabouts, Penn State is at the 78th percentile. Now, that's not bad. Okay. That's above the middle. Okay, it's in the upper end, so we'll ring the bell. All right, then we'll ring the bell.
All right.
78th percentile. Now, the number one town, I've never been there, on the top of the list, is Carmel, Indiana. Have you ever been to Carmel, Indiana, Mr. Ironhead?
Have not.
You've been to Bloomington.
I've been to Bloomington.
But not Carmel. Well, you should go. Apparently, it's the best small city in the country.
Been to West Lafayette, South Bend, but...
West Lafayette is on this list. All right, maybe not on the good end. All right, but you can do a little web searching. You can find this. But here's what caught my eye.
What caught your eye?
All right, they had five parameters primarily that they were looking at for all these cities. The parameters were quality of life, safety, education, economic health, and affordability. And so for each of those five, they graded these 1,300 cities with a number. And then, again, when they did that, they crunched it all together to get like a main number. So, again, Penn State is not, or State College is not bad, 78th percentile. All right, that's good. Let's look at these individual numbers. This is what caught my eye. Now, for quality of life, State College comes in at 58. Well, that's really good.
That's pretty good.
Again, one good, 1,300 not good. Right?
Yeah.
Let's zoom, okay? So for quality of life, State College is number 58. That's good. That's really good, okay? Safety. State College comes in at number 87. All right, well, that's good.
Pretty safe.
All right, that's top 100 among 1,300. That's really good. All right, great. Now, education. Now we're thinking, okay, there's a big university, like, right over here. All right. Okay. Education, they come in at number 192. Now, keep in mind, there's 1,300 and including a number of other college towns in this big, giant list. So 192 is, okay, that's not bad. We would expect that to be higher.
Yeah.
But it's actually not bad. All right. 192 out of 1,300. Okay, we'll take that. That's okay. It's the other two that cause concern. We had Greg Scott here the other day from CBICC. We were talking about that airline service event that they had earlier this week. And I wanted to ask him a question about this because he's all about business. And I saved it to the end, and we ran out of time. It's like, we are out of time. We got to take a break. I'm like, oh, shoot. So when we went to a commercial break, Greg and his assistant were here, and I said, I got to show you this. And I showed it to them, and they're like, wow, wow. I said, we assume this is accurate. All right, maybe it's rather subjective, not objective.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, got to take that, you know, grain of salt. All right, 1,300 cities on this list for economic health. In other words, how's our economy doing here? State College comes in at number 992. Ooh. Okay, that's in the lower half of this. Remember, 1,300 total. So round off, they're at number 1,000 of 1,300. Ooh, that's not great. Then there's the last one, affordability. Now, if you're familiar with the neighborhood and you're a business person and so on, you're looking at your radio or your phone kind of funny right now, like, okay, I think I know where this one's going. On the affordability track, according to these folks, this survey, all right, again, one great 1,300. According to these people, affordability, State College is number 1,269. That's essentially the bottom of the list of 1,300 cities. Now, I don't know. I've heard complaints about real estate prices. Oh, for goodness sakes. I've heard complaints about gasoline in certain spots, which is still, I think, overpriced. We have complaints about maybe food or restaurants. We have complaints about, I've heard them about a number of things, that right now our area, State College, and we can go outward, you know, in different directions, is simply unaffordable. Mr. Ironhead, do you agree? And it's okay to disagree. What do you think?
I would like to see what all they are using to determine the, like, relative to elsewhere in the country. The gasoline tax, just as an example, in Pennsylvania is obscene. It really is. And I don't think Pennsylvania overall is especially business friendly. I think there's a lot of improvement that needs to be made there. The affordability and the economic, I will say, like, this area has very much felt to me all along, and maybe more so now, or at least as much as ever, that it is, we definitely have, and I suspect this is similar, though, to everywhere else, although I don't know that, but we have a very strong haves and a very strong have-nots component to our area. I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit over the years, and a number of different reasons for that, a number of different factors that play into that. So, yes, I do think some of the things we have are, like, just ridiculous in terms of the way they're priced, including, we talked about it, like, the parking for football, yeah, that's crazy. Also, it's what the market is at least allowing right now. I mean, people are paying it. They're griping, they're complaining, and they're forking over the money. Well... Again, if you are running and you do that, you go right on down the list of everything. So, yeah, that's a tough one to delve into because, again, there's so many different factors that come into play, and the way we look at it. But yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, I think this area is especially affordable? No.
No.
And unfortunately, I tend to be closer. I'm not in the have-not category, but on the spectrum, I would be closer to that end of the spectrum than the other. And so, yes, from our perspective, I would not... The first thing that leaps out about what makes this area great is not, no. Boy, everything is so affordable and within reason on the pricing front.
Let's take a break because we right. have to.
Yes.
Let's talk. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap things up after this.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Just a couple of minutes remaining on our Friday edition of Let's Talk, 814-954-7266. If you have something for the good of the order before we wrap things up today.
Make it fast. All right, got about a minute and a half, I think, or so. I have a totally crazy day today. Just a nutty, nutty day.
I have one tomorrow, so
tomorrow
it's just a weekend of nuttiness.
Here's real quick. Here's what I'm doing today. I'm going to go see the Penn State women's hockey game because I'm a fan. They're great.
Yep.
They have a game at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Sure do.
I'll be there for about half the game.
Beat Mercyhurst.
All right. Then I have to get up and swing around to back the building to the field hockey field where I'm going to be their announcer today because the normal person is, I don't know, unavailable or sick or something. So they contacted me this week. Scott, can you help us out? Field hockey. Okay, yeah. And I'm going to finish that game. Then I'm going to cross the road over to Jeffrey Field, where I'm going to announce tonight's men's soccer game.
Let's go. White out.
And when that's all done, do you know if I can do this? When that's all done, probably about 9 o'clock, I'm going to walk back up to Pagula. Do you think they'll let me walk in to catch the end of the Penn State men's hockey game? Do you think they? I think.
Boy, that is a good question.
Walk in at the midway through the third period? I'm hoping the answer is yes, because I'm right.
That is
I mean, I'm right there, and I want to see these guys at least for a few minutes, like live and in person.
That is a good. I don't know the answer.
I don't know. So I might be going to four Penn State games this afternoon and tonight. So come on out to the field hockey game. Come on out to the men's soccer game.
Yeah, enjoy.
What the heck? Come on out to the hockey games and whatever. It's a crazy day. Anyway, yes, we'll all be watching tomorrow night, and we'll see what happens. Monday, we have an open phone program again, and we'll talk all about it.
That is...
And some other subjects as well. There we go.
Folks, enjoy the weekend, and yes, we will talk to you again Monday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.